listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Let's look, at least we can, and get some ideas, if we could, about the Holy Spirit, and maybe begin to get a definition. Now, if you ask me if I'm Pentecostal, and I ask you the question, well, what is your belief of Pentecostal? And you say, I believe it's someone that believes in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that's given to man to fulfill the Great Commission, then yes. Amen? I'm not Spirit-filled so I can entertain you. I'm not Spirit-filled so we can have personal entertainment among ourselves of tongues, interpretations, and prophecies. I get all that, and I like all that, but I don't get filled with the Spirit for personal entertainment. It's not for me to gain ground in my church. It's not for me to get to heaven. It's for me to be the church that He's called me to be, that we can see the lost one to the Lord. And if I'm not being a witness, I'm not being Spirit-filled. Don't amen me too loud right there. But see, some of y'all up here can speak in tongues, but you can't speak a gospel word to somebody about Jesus. You were Spirit-filled to win the lost. Amen? So I wanted to look at some of the definitions, if we could. Let's look in the Bible in Acts chapter 2. I'll hurry. I'm sorry. I kind of got sidetracked. Is this all the lights y'all serve on Sunday? Could y'all brighten it up for old people? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. My wife asked if I need a flash. I need something. I needed my eyes healed. Okay. I think I can do this. Let's look at the Bible, if you would, for just a couple minutes. Here's what the Bible says. Thank you. That's good right there. You don't have to do it anymore. That's fine. When the day of Pentecost, I want you to underline that. The day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came. When the day of Pentecost came. That's one of the things we need to understand about the feast of the Lord. God intended to fulfill the feast. So let me give them to you real quick. In the first month of the year, how many of you are the first month of the Jewish calendar? How many of you know that's Passover? Some of you all have enjoyed Passover. Passover for us as Christians means a time when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and that's Passover. When He was the lamb slain for us and the blood applied to our lives. So we believe in Passover. Some of you have participated in a Passover Seder. Maybe you've gone to a Jewish family or someone that is a Messianic Jew, and they walked you through a Seder and the 15 points of what you had to do in a Seder. So we have an understanding of that. That was a celebration called Passover. Passover happened in Exodus 14. It was the first feast of the Lord, and He expected it to be fulfilled. Amen? In the Old Testament, listen closely, in the Old Testament, it was a practice and a principle. In the New Testament, it's not a practice, it is the principle. Amen? We don't kill lambs anymore. Jesus was our crucified lamb. He was our Passover. And when He was killed, that was all we had to do. We don't kill lambs anymore. We operate in the principle of the slain lamb. Are you still tracking me? So in the first month of the Jewish calendar, they had Passover. That's when, if you'll remember back, that they were getting ready to get out of Egypt. And the Bible said, if you will kill a lamb, a spotless lamb, one that's been kept up, and you kill that lamb, and you take its blood, and you put it over the doorpost, and then you roast the lamb with bitter herbs, and you eat that lamb, when the death angel passes over you, you will not die. How many of y'all remember that? There was old songs written about that. When I see the blood. Y'all remember that song? Anybody go that far back besides me? Yeah, you got to start getting a lot of gray hair by then. It's an old hymnal, an old song that when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it's called Passover, because the angel would pass over. Y'all tracking me so far? That happened in the first month of the Jewish calendar, and it was called Passover. And it's when the lamb was slain, and then it passed over. Another, just two quick thoughts, and I'll bring them to you a little bit later, but for you to keep. The main feast was Passover, and it had two small feasts with it. One was unleavened bread, and the other one was first fruits. Y'all do remember that, right? Unleavened bread is when not only did they have the lamb slain, but they got some bread. And they couldn't put leavening in it, so they kept it flat. And when they rolled it out, leavening was a type of sin in the Old Testament. So this bread had to be without sin. Hallelujah. You get that bread and you roll it out, and Jesus is our bread. and they roll out that bread, and it has no sin in it, and then you punch it or you pierce it. How many of you know he was pierced for our sins? Y'all still tracking me? He was pierced, and then you put it in a grill, and you toast it, and you grill it, and it gets stripes on it from the grill, so it has been kneaded down. It has no sin. It's been pierced, and it has stripes on it. Just saying, we had that as a part of the Passover. And then the other is first fruits. And just to give you this idea, that was the beginning of the barley harvest also happened in that first month. And what they would do, they would take the first fruits of the barley harvest, just the very first pieces of barley that came to life and fruition, and they would pick them out or get them out, and they would bring them in, and they would celebrate the first fruits. In other words, this is the first fruit of what's going to come. I mean, there's going to be a big harvest, but this is the first fruits of it. How many of you all remember that Jesus was the first fruits of our resurrection? That he was picked out before we got ripe. He was picked out, held up, and he was the first fruits in promise of everybody that was coming up with him. Okay, so we got you got Passover. The next feast was Pentecost, happened in the third month of the year, that of their year, in the third month, 49 days after the Passover, 49 days and one. In other words, 50 days. There were 7 weeks plus a day that they would have this place, this one called Pentecost. Now, Pentecost to us is a happening, but to them it was just a number. Pentecost was a number. It meant 50. Penta means five, and coste means by 10. In other words, it means 50. So you've got this Pentecost meal. Some of us think about Pentecost as all about being a part of a church that speaks in tongues, but Pentecost wasn't about speaking in tongues. It was about the number 50, and it was about the time when the law was given. How many of you remember when the law was given? The law was given, and it was called Pentecost, and they would celebrate the law. Here's something else. If you read this in Exodus 19, the law was given, and that's over in chapter 20, but in chapter 19 of Exodus, it says that he called Israel out on that day and said, "You are now a holy nation. You are a community called Israel." Stick with me. Remember these things, because we're going to celebrate Pentecost too. How many of you know you got called out? How many of the church was established? Amen? I'm just saying, that was Pentecost. It happened 50 days after the Passover. Now, I'll give you one more, and that's Tabernacles. It happened in the seventh month of the year. It was the final harvest. It was a time when they would celebrate, and here's what they celebrated. It's called Tabernacles because they celebrated it by living in huts or little lean-tos or tents on the roof of their home or down on the street, depending on where they live. If they lived in a two-level home, they got up on top of the house, they built a tent, and that was called Tabernacles. And they did that to commemorate their journeying when they wandered. How many of y'all remember they wandered for 40 years? Yeah, let me just say this about this. It's not good to wander for 40 years. The women were the most unhappy people in the world during those days because they would get their house fixed up and get all the furniture laid out and get all the spices put up. And about 3 days later, the cloud would move and the husband would come in and say, "We got to go." And then the woman was upset. Or maybe they would go and stay 6 or 7 years somewhere and then drag up. I'm just saying, it was very hard on them to move. So they celebrated this Tabernacles by doing this. They would build the tent to remind them that they used to journey in a temporary, but now they're in a permanent. I was temporary, but now I am permanent. How many of you all know that you're journeying right now and you've got a temporary body called a tent, according to Paul, that he said one day we're going to fold up the tent and be somewhere permanently? This is not permanent here. See, some of you young people live like this is it. This is life. This is permanent. This is not permanent. God's got another place built for you. And we're just journeying right now with him. Are y'all still tracking me? There are two parts extra also of Tabernacles, and they are trumpets, and then the other one is atonement. And trumpets has to do with something we'll deal with in just a little bit, and then atonement. Just remember that I said them, okay? So one of the things I want you to understand is it was God's plan to always fulfill these. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible said, Jesus speaking, he said, "I did not come to get rid of the law. I came that the law could be fulfilled. I came to make sure what was to happen is going to happen. I'm not here to tear it down. I'm here to fulfill it." And the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 10, all of these events were examples to us. In other words, I can take the principle of the event and apply it to my life. I don't kill lambs, but the principle is Jesus died for me. Amen. I don't have to wait 50 days for a special day. Every day, I'm a holy nation. Every day I'm a child of God. Every day I have that anointing in my life. Amen? So let's deal with how they were fulfilled. The Passover was fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus. How many of you all know that in the day of Pentecost, or the day of Passover, they had two Sabbaths that have a double Sabbath on Passover? They had a Friday Sabbath and a Saturday Sabbath. They had two Sabbaths. On the first of it, which is on a Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning, they would get a lamb that they held over. They'd bring the lamb in the house and they would slit his throat at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they would clean and dress that lamb. They would prepare it. They'd marinate it and get it ready to go into the oven. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they slid that lamb into the oven. That was their Passover. How many of y'all remember that it was at 9 o'clock in the morning that they started driving and nails in the hands of Jesus at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was 3 in the afternoon when he was put into the tomb? And I don't know if y'all get it or not, but it has the same connotation. He fulfilled exactly what was the law. He fulfilled it in his death, burial, and resurrection. So it was fulfilled in the fact that at the same time that this happened to him, it happened to the lamb in the house. He was striped, so was the bread. He is the first fruits. How many of y'all know he did get up out of the tomb? I was going to say this morning when y'all sang that song. Christina just knocked it out of the park. And I was going to say something during that song, but just caught me on this love of God and what it was like. And I preached on the street with Jim. He invited me to preach in Lynn Park this morning about Peter. And one of the things I love about the life of Peter and Jesus' relationship to him, how many of you know that Peter denied God 3 times? How many of you know he turned his back on the Lord? Yeah, see, you need to nod yes, because he did. Some of y'all think, oh, no, he was always. No, Jesus said, not only does Satan want you, he's going to sift you. I get all that. And he says, listen to what Jesus says. He says, this is in John 13. He says, and when you come back, you'll strengthen your brothers. How many of you remember on the resurrection what Jesus told that angel to tell the girls? Huh, y'all remember? He said, angel, tell the girls, because the men are going to be out fishing or something, tell them to remind them to go to Galilee, because they won't remember. Right? He said, when you tell them that, tell them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee and meet me there, and tell them to say, and Peter also. Now, I'm going to say something. He didn't put Peter with the disciples. He put Peter as an outsider. But here's what he said. And Peter. What's your first name? Tell me your first name. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Then I ought to be able to say, and tell all the disciples, and yeah, but I've done some bad things, and but I've denied Jesus, and all I'm saying is that Jesus knew what was going to happen, because if he hadn't invited him personally, he wouldn't have gone, because he's like you and me. I ain't going down that altar. I'm not going to raise my hands because I know what I did last night. And Jesus is saying, I get what you did. I'm calling you to myself. You need to get up and come on. He knew Peter wouldn't go.
That's right.
So he called him. Oh, I'm way ahead of this game. He's calling somebody right now. He's speaking to somebody right now. I'm talking and he's talking to you. You're not going to remember what I say, but you will forever hear him tell you he loves you today. He's calling somebody to the altar. Let's go to Pentecost. Now, that was the Passover, and Jesus fulfilled it. Say it's done. Do we do Passover anymore as far as killing lambs? No. Why? Because it's done. Because Jesus was the lamb. Isn't that what John said he was? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So that's it. Let's go to Pentecost. Go to John chapter 20. The day of Pentecost is what we saw in Acts 2. Go to John 20 very quickly. And I want to say, there's one story that John tells and Luke repeats it twice. John 20, yeah. John 20. Find it on your phone. So ridiculous. I remember when we dialed phones. Yes, talk to the operator. Crank the battery. You young folk that all you know is a cell phone, that is ridiculous. I mean, we've got a little grandson not quite 2 years old that knows how to punch numbers. And knows how to swipe pages on an iPad or whatever. I'm just saying. All right, y'all with me? All right, check me out on this one. This is John 20, 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Now note the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them saying, Peace be to you. Why do you reckon he said that? What would you be if the doors were locked and someone appeared there? I'm just saying. Peace be to you. Don't stroke on me. I'm here. It's me. Now watch what he does. Verse number 20. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Now watch this. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that at that moment they received the Holy Spirit, and I believe they were born again. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the next verse, had this verse not been there, I'd have said they didn't get it till the day of Pentecost. But this very next verse is this one. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's, here's that word, sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. The catch is not on whether I forgive or don't forgive. The catch is that sin was eliminated at that moment. The Lord came and said, I am breathing on you. Receive the Spirit. Now I'm going to help the rest of us. Everybody that's born again has a Spirit in them. Everybody born again has the Holy Spirit. Touch someone and say, you got it. Yeah, if you're born again, you do. If you're not, you're in trouble. But if you're born again, you have the Spirit. And that's another problem with people labeled Pentecostals. They don't think anybody else is as good as they are, and you don't have the Spirit, and all you need is baptism and Holy Ghost. Let me help you right now, baby. Everybody got the Holy Spirit. Everybody that's born again has the Holy Spirit. We need to believe that. I want you to keep the same thought in mind. This is John. Go to the same story in Luke 24. Just run there real quick. Luke 24, talking about Pentecost. Luke 24, beginning at 36. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, what? Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened and thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and it is me, myself. Touch me, see that I'm not a ghost. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. Look at verse 40. When he said this, he showed them his hands, his feet, and they were still, they did not believe because of joy and amazement. But he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything, here's your key, must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he opened their minds. They get revelation knowledge. He opened their minds and says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer. Here's your gospel message. The Messiah will suffer. He will raise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. Go to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Then he says this. He says, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed. This is the same story John had. Jesus appearing, Jesus coming, showing his hand, showing his side. This time, Luke's a little bit more detailed. He said he ate fish just to prove to them he had a meal with them so he could prove that he's not a ghost. Just kind of track me on this. And he said this, only in Luke's gospel, he didn't say, receive. He says, you need to go wait in the city. Now, you got to back up. Salvation happened when he said, the repentance and forgiveness of sins is preached. He gave them that, but said, there's more. Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 1. This is still Luke writing, just very quickly. Help me in there just real quick here. We're at Pentecost. Verse number 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave convincing proofs. What are the convincing proofs? Eating fish, showing his hands, showing his side, that he was alive. He appeared to them. This is still Luke writing. He appeared to them over a period of, here's your key thought here, over 40 days. And he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, that's that occasion, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father's promise, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water. In a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. One of the things that he said is go there. Now, here's the issue. He was with them for 40 days. Say 40 days. 40 days. How many of you know that 40 is significant? If it's mentioned in the Bible, it's significant. 40 is a word for preparation. It's the number that means preparation. How many weeks is a woman pregnant? She's pregnant for 40 weeks. It is 40 days and nights that it rained on Noah. 40 was a time of a fast that was given. So in other words, 40 begins to have some kind of, for us, understanding. There were 40 years in the wilderness, right? That was for preparation. Then the number 10, because it's 50 days. So let me give you this. It's 40 days plus 10 days. So what was 10? 10 is a number of testing. Go stay in Jerusalem until you be endued. In other words, you got 10 days to go wait. How many of you know that waiting would be a test? 10 days, I got to keep doing it for 10 days. Well, what if I leave on the 8th day? I hadn't completed the test. I got to stay for 10 days. Here's another thought about the 10 days as far as 10 is for us. It is the number of testing. How many commandments are there? 10 commandments, because it is a test. Daniel, when he was looked at by Nebuchadnezzar's right-hand men, his eunuchs, and he spoke to them, Daniel said, give me 10 days and test me over the 10 days. The church of Smyrna in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, and you will be tested for 10 days. How many of you know in a few minutes you're going to be, an offering's going to be passed, and you're going to pay your tithe? Can I help you on that? The Bible says it very clearly in Malachi that a tithe is 10. And God said, test me with the 10. The test is on him. You should amen me right there, baby. Because you've been thinking why you can't pay your tithe. It ain't about testing you. It's about testing him. Woo! I don't know about the rest of you. I trust him. If I pay my tithe, I trust him. If I can go ahead and give my tithe, my dime out of a dollar, I can trust him. It is a test, but it's testing him. It's not testing me. Amen? So I'm just going to say this. Jesus was there for 40 days. Then he left. And over the process of the time he left, there was at that time 10 days. And then the Holy Spirit came. If you read in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of the Lord came, there's some things that happened. Very quickly, look in Acts 2 again. And here's what it says in verse number 1 and 2. Verse 2, it says, there was a sound like a blowing of a violent wind. From heaven, and the whole house was filled where they were seated, and they saw what they thought was fire that separated and came and rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled. If you want to, you can compare that to the original Pentecost. When Moses went to the mountain, the Bible said there was a cloud that came down, there were noises that were there, that the wind was blowing, that the rocks were breaking, there was a great disturbance. The Bible also says that 3,000 people died that day. Because they worshiped the idol. How many of you remember that? And the Levites put on knives and went down and killed 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. For them is the giving of the law. They went down on that day and killed 3,000 people. And then God said, I'm calling you Israel. You are a holy community. And here's all I'm saying. On the day of Pentecost, that was fulfilled in the book of Acts. There was a great sound of wind. There was the fire that came down. The noise was there. The place is shaken. But something different happens. 3,000 people come alive because 3,000 are saved. They're not killed, but they come alive. And then also, the Bible lets us know that there was a new church began then, and we're called the body of Christ, and we're called as the Gentiles, we're called the holy Israel. Amen? So we have a comparison. The Old Testament people die, the New Testament they live. In the Old Testament, a new nation was made. In the New Testament, we are a new nation. Amen? We're a holy nation that's living under God. I'm just letting you kind of get a point of this. One of the problems we have with Pentecost is the devil has just made people think that they don't have to have it. They love Passover. They look forward to tabernacles, but they don't want Pentecost. And God said, I want to fulfill all of these. We need to begin to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost. Very quickly, I'll just say this to you. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for people that want to live righteously. Now, the Old Testament Pentecost, the Word of God, was written on what? What God wrote it on? Tablets of stone. But he said, that's not where I want to write it. That's not where I want to write. I'm writing on a tablet of stone, but that's not where I want to write it. There's a day coming when I'm not going to be writing on stone anymore. I'm going to write it on the tender heart of my people. I'm going to put it, oh, see, you're not amen. You should amen right there. Because when on the day of Pentecost, he didn't come to write on stone. He came to write on us and put his word in us. For some of you all that say, well, man, I struggle living for God because I want to do what the world does. I want to live like that. And I struggle trying to obey God. Let me help you right now just a minute. It's because you don't understand that the word of God has been written in you. And now I want to obey him. I desire to do what he wants because his word is written in my heart. It is in my DNA. Someone has preached to you that he's far from you and you're on your own. And I'm just saying this, he wrote his word in your heart. I don't have to obey, I get to obey. It's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. Amen. So the first one was about the law being on stone, but now the second one is about the law being our hearts. The first one was about a holy nation called Israel. The second is about a holy nation called us, the church. The third one was he empowered the church that we could do the mission. And how many of you know he wants this world one to him? Brings us to the very last understanding of Pentecost as well as the last feast. The last feast was called Tabernacles. Tabernacles represented a day of wandering. It represented when they were out in the wilderness. It represented 40 years of wandering around. It represented them being without a home. And everything has to be fulfilled. Let me just say this to you also. How many of you know in a day, Passover was fulfilled? In a day it was fulfilled. How many of you know that Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, God said, I'm going to fulfill these three. I'm getting all three of these. They're going to be fulfilled. He fulfilled Passover in a day. He fulfilled Pentecost in a day. Can I tell you something about this next one? The Bible says it's this way. You've been traveling in tents, and you've got them on you're celebrating at the last harvest. It's the biggest harvest. It's Tabernacles, and that's when you have these old tents, and you put them out there to commemorate. That's how I used to travel. And then also, there's going to be some trumpet blasts. How many of you know in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said that we're going to hear a trumpet blast? There is going to be a last harvest. The last harvest can't be brought in unless somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit and has the power to put the sickle of the gospel in and get them born again. I'm not spirit-filled so I can speak in tongues more than you. I'm spirit-filled that the last harvest can come in. There is a reason for being filled with the Spirit, and it's not so someone can call you Pentecostal or charismatic. If you'd forget the title and get the purpose, I'm spirit-filled that I can see the last harvest. And I have a responsibility for the tabernacles. Amen? I'm responsible for that. I'm a part of what brings that thing in. And so are you. The Bible says, Paul says this. He said, day, my foot, you will be changed in a moment.
Come on.
In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet sound. And the dead shall come alive. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught away with them forever to say, I fold up my tent. I put down my hut. I'm going to a permanent place that I will dwell for him with him forever. Amen. Amen. Well, you're going to say, what about atonement? We use atonement meaning, generally for us, God covers something over. But if you study the word atonement, and you'll go ahead and take it out to some of its lesser meanings, but yet there, it means bringing judgment. There's coming a day when the trumpet sounds. We lay down the old tents. We go to be with him. Atonement takes place. We're covered in peace. Judgment happens to the world. Let me give you one thought. If y'all do music for altar call, you can do music now. Passover was completed in a day. Jesus was the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. God says, here's the principle. God says, if there's no blood of the spotless Lamb, then I will get the blood somewhere else. Let me help y'all with something. God doesn't send anybody to hell to punish them. Oh, yeah, he's an angry God. He's going to send all of the homosexuals to hell. He's going to send all the drunks to hell. He's going to send all the liars to hell. Let me help you in this real quick. God's not out to send anybody to hell. He will allow you to pay for your salvation any way you want to. If you want to go by the Lamb's blood, it's free. Yes, sir. Jesus, come into my heart. If you don't go by that lamb, you will go by sacrifice. And it'll be you. You will stand for your own sin. You will stand judging your own life. You will stand and your blood will be required. Can you see what hell is all about? Hell is not about God's mad. He's just saying, you got a choice. Choose life. Choose life. Choose the blood. Choose life. If you don't do that, you're going to have to pay. I hate that, but you're going to have to pay. It's not a matter of what you're doing right or wrong. It's a matter of who's paying the bill. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I know that my blood can't take care of what in my life's got to be taken care of. My blood doesn't carry the weight, doesn't carry the anointing, doesn't carry the efficacy, doesn't carry the power, the cleansing that His does. What a fool I'd be. What a fool I'd be to see that Passover was complete in Christ, that Pentecost was complete in Christ. When He got to the Father, He sent back the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And for some of y'all, I didn't talk near enough about tongues, interpretations, and gifts of the Spirit, because that's what you've been about. What we need to be about is what He's about. He's about the souls of people. That stuff is good if it gets a soul. If it doesn't get a soul, then it obviously is for your entertainment. Listen to me. Jesus didn't send back the Holy Ghost to entertain you so we could all get in here and laugh in the Spirit and fall down and lay hands on people and get delivered. I mean, I want all of that to happen. That's good. But that wasn't why there was a day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was given so God could write His word in your heart. And the Holy Spirit is pinning that in you right now. How many of you know when you do something wrong, you know when you do something wrong with your spirit filled? Oh, dear God. Why? Because it's against your DNA. Because He wrote that in my heart. So the Holy Spirit baptism has a whole lot more to do with God's process than ours. I completed Passover in Christ. I complete Pentecost in my spirit by Christ. And I will complete. Now watch this. I'm still living, and so are you, in the day of Pentecost. I'm still living in that day. But baby, there's another day coming. There's another day coming, and that's tabernacles. And I'm listening for the trumpet. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when Israel starts blowing up over there and they're bombing other people and Hamas doesn't know what to do and everybody's running crazy, I'm just thinking there's going to be a trumpet blast. Some are going to hear a sound. I don't know what you're going to, I just know it's going to happen. I don't know when, but there's another day, and God will say, you listen to me, one day God will say, I told you that I would fulfill these three feasts. Jesus told you that I didn't come to take it away. I came to fulfill it, and it will be Jesus in a moment and the twinkling of an eye that will come in the clouds, that will call His family home, that's already been marked as His family, covered in His blood. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, for just a moment. Yeah, stand for just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.